Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey Peas, it's Kate here.
Hello, and it's Mandy.
We just wanted to talk to you about something so exciting for you, which might be working with us.
That's right. We are pretty
Zoom friendly.
We are nifty with a PowerPoint is all I have to say. So we have enjoyed the last couple of weeks working with some corporate groups, some community groups, a local council, the libraries. We can speak to your group. We've spoken to carers.
We have. We've spoken to the BOM.
Come on.
That's the top of Australia.
Exactly.
The BOM. That's as high as you can go.
So if you want to work with us, get in contact with us at our website, twopeasinapodcast.com.au.
Yep.
And we would love to have a chat about how we can work with your group.
Yep. Of course, we charge a little bit of money. That's because actually we are valuable people and we put the money towards the podcast, the booklets, and at the moment during COVID, actually putting food on the table.
Yeah.
So if you would like to work with us, we would love to work with you. Just hit us up.
Yeah.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is beautiful Mandy P, who is a speak piper from way back.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
How are you going?
Very well.
Very well. We should say, Annalise will be really happy to know that it's not just us talking about a weather event today.
Everybody in Melbourne, Victoria, some parts of New South Wales, Tassie, South Australia, earthquake town.
So I think, look, even if we didn't normally talk about the bomb, we would definitely talk about that.
Oh.
So it's you know, we were cool doing weather chat before other people were.
I know, that's so, right. So yeah. Look, cold in Melbourne.
Cold.
With a splash of earthquake.
Yes, yes. Just the one splice.
Anyway, we did a little episode about that. We put it out on the day.
Yes, so you
but this is when we're recording.
That, but yep.
But anyway, we're very excited to have our guest today.
Very excited. We have met her in person.
We have at the Sydney live show, and her beautiful son. They're in the front row, I remember.
Yes.
So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Mandy. I'm from New South Wales.
Yay.
Yes.
Not shaken.
And hello, lady.
Yeah. We're thrilled to have you. You are an original speak piper. You're one of the first.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Yes. Yeah.
And before we get into our questions, how did you find us?
Well, actually, your merch team.
Yes.
The lovely Carly and Luke, their bestie, Sally, introduced me to you guys.
Ah.
So she's like, and you actually popped my podcast.
Woo! That's us.
That's you, girl.
Taking podginities everywhere.
Yeah, I've had an iPhone and that podcasting had been, my husband had told me all about podcasts. I'm like, when do I get a chance?
That's right.
Yeah.
Listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
So, but it swayed me from watching stupid reality television on catch up. That's
yeah. Yes. So,
well, you realise that you can multitask with it. So,
that's long forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Useless to me now.
Let's get to our questions and get on with our beautiful episode. So can you tell us, do you have any, what's your favourite music that helps you through the tricky times or the good times?
Yeah, well, look, you always think about this when you girls ask other people. And
yeah.
I know that I have a lot of songs, like I've grown up, you know, with always music in the house.
Mm.
I'd have to say that the one song I that's a memory to me with my children is the Carpenters song. Well, I have a total mental blank now. Is that terrible?
No, that's okay. Oh, gosh. We'll let you Google it.
Oh, I'm here in my head. You know, why do birds
yes.
Yeah, that little song to them. But the song for me is definitely the Powderfinger song, The Meter.
Oh, I love Powderfinger.
You know, it's just that beautiful mix of haunting and harmony and great musicians, yeah, playing. Mm. So, and the lyrics are quite, you know, sort of poignant too. Like,
yeah.
There's a sunset on the road that keeps reappearing as we go.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
Bit of a theme song for us.
Yes.
Yep. It is really true. I was listening to another podcast today, in the middle of the night, I don't know, insomnia, and they were telling a story about someone who was a famous person. I think it was Bill Murray, who had been quite suicidal.
Oh,
and he thought, I don't think I can do this. He'd been rejected from a movie, and he just popped into an art gallery and he saw a painting of a woman like tilling the field or whatever, and in the back was a sunrise, and he thought, actually, people have been working hard for years and the sun still gets up.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, it's actually true. Yeah, tomorrow is a new day.
That's
no
right.
mistakes in it, man.
No yeah. mistakes in it yet.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, second question. Did you win any awards at school?
No, I won an award that I didn't actually notice until much later in life when I was cleaning out my wardrobe and found my yearbook. Mm. And I won Best Eyes in School.
Wow! Surely they don't do awards
take
like that anymore.
Take that, team. No, I've got the sash of all sashes.
Best eyes in school.
Best
beautiful.
Eyes in school. And also, and the my fellow award recipient was the lovely Sally Overmeter,
who is
Channel 7 personality.
Yep.
Her and I grew up together, and so I was like, wow. The guys actually didn't mind brown eyes in school.
Yeah.
You
didn't always have to be blue-eyed, blonde,
blonde
hair and look like Barbie to.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a.
That's a funny award.
Best
I
eyes.
Like that. So best yeah, eyes.
Best eyes in school.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, the big important question, yes. Why are you a pea?
I'm a pea because I have a beautiful pea shoot who is now 21. Mm-hmm. And, he was our first child, first experience, and, what a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's hearing start at all the very about beginning. It. Yeah, tell us a little
so
bit.
So did you have a traditional or regular pregnancy?
Oh, I did. Well, my husband and I have known each other since we were 14.
Wow.
And we, sort of dated intermittently when we were younger, and then when we were 18 we sort of rekindled and had been together ever since. And we got married at 28. I fell pregnant straight away. It was just textbook.
Mm.
We didn't even bother going to the classes. We were like, we got this. Yeah. We know everything.
Yep.
And went in the day he was due. My waters broke. Went into the hospital. They said to me, oh, you have the strep B infection.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, what does that mean? Because I hadn't gone to the classes, and they said, well, you can do one or two things. You can go home, we'll give you an injection, you can go home, ride it out, wait for your contractions to start, or we can induce you and you stay here. And I remember looking at my watch and going, I remember them saying something about 4 hours is the second stage labor, and that's what the inducement would do. And it was 9 o'clock, and I'm looking at my watch going, yeah, I'll be having a baby after midday, yeah, let's do it. And no, it wasn't that straightforward.
No.
They didn't put the gel in me properly. I did not dilate. He had nowhere to go. He had the cord around his neck. So he was bungee jumping his way up and down, up and down. But he finally arrived and he was alert. He looked straight at me. He was a bit blue. But from all we thought, everything was quite normal. Mm. You know, we went home, we started life. Slowly but surely I started to notice things that were red flags for me.
Mm.
But you're a new parent and you just think, oh, Lord, I don't know. We didn't have a lot of family support. Mm. My parents and family weren't in New South Wales.
Yep.
And our friends were all busy. They hadn't had children yet.
Yes.
So we just wrote it out. And by 9 months, I knew something was really.
Really? Hit. 9 months. Okay.
What were some of the some of the things?
Well, he did. And of course, like, obviously now as you find out more things as you grow through the journey, yeah. I like to use that word. He would do the motorbike, the wrist sleep.
Yes.
I'd sit him on the floor. He'd watch the Teletubbies and like the stimming would start. Yes. And then he would get things like he never engaged us. Mm. He was very intense. Like he could pick up a book and he'd look over it and turn it upside down. And where when we had our youngest 10 years later to notice that difference, like they have wonderment and they show you everything and they're like, look at it. And
okay.
Where everything him was just inch up.
Right.
But, you know, he was cuddly and he loved us.
Yeah.
But he didn't goo or gar.
Right.
He was always happy and smiley. But he would wake up from his sleeps terribly distressed.
Yep.
Like waking up for him was almost catatonic.
Mm. Yeah.
And I could never, you know, you just sort of think, oh, okay. I couldn't use my hairdryer after a while. Yeah, the audio sensitivity really started to come into effect.
Yep. Wow. Mm. Okay. And so did you talk to anyone when he was 9 months old, like as in a professional?
No, I kept it to myself.
Yeah.
I did start to worry, but I think everyone just brushed it off that I was just like probably being a little bit too mothering of him. I wouldn't let people cuddle him. He suffered from colic. So if someone gave him a bottle, I would just be like thinking, oh,
yeah.
It's going to take me half an hour to get that wind up that I could have done if I just did it by myself.
Yep.
And I was obviously suffering postnatal depression in a way that I was covering it by everything was perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I'm perfect. World is perfect.
Yep. Yep. You know. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So, But, you know, as you wish you could turn back time, but then, you know, and because you know the first thing you start to say to yourself is, was it me? Did I do it?
Of course.
Did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
And you're constantly told that there's nothing you could have done.
No, of course not.
It. Were you in like a mother's group or anything? Was there babies you were comparing to?
I was. And that was an interesting. I know your dear friend, that's the hairdresser I had. I laughed along and felt so much like how she.
Yeah, Michelle.
Her mother's group as well. She's so funny.
She is very funny.
So I went to a girl I went to school with actually had her son in the May before I had Kieran. So Kieran was born in July. So there was an 8 weeks difference between us and the other mothers and their baby, which in baby's terms can be quite.
Oh, yes, it is. Like 8
weeks old. Like they're all rolling over and he's still a teeny tiny baby lying on the mat.
Yes.
And, you know, it can be very competitive in the mummy mafia.
Oh, yes.
And this particular group were very, they had been corporate ladies and they were now mums and it was fierce.
Yep.
And I've always shied away from that even growing up. I sort of like couldn't handle it when women became competitive taking each other on. It's just like,
no.
But I just kept going and going, I'm here, I'm trying.
Yeah.
And I just remember just little things like, remember those plastic trikes you'd get? And they had two wheels on the back and one wheel on the front, like a small motorbike.
Yep.
And Kieran could not work out how to scoot himself along.
Yep.
And I'd be watching the others all do it and I'd be like, come on, you can do this.
There's nothing quite like that face I observe in a mum who's realising in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And you'd see that kitty.
Yes.
Like, oh, dear. You know, and the clincher came when one day I turned up because I'd always turn up late because he was having a sleep before then.
Yep.
And there was this van there. I think it was all like a learning support van. And, you know, sort of like got myself in there and they're all sort of sitting around a circle. I'm like, oh, what's the van out the front? And they're like, well, we just thought that it might be really good for you, like for some help.
With the other mums?
Mm.
They organised it?
They organised it.
Like an intervention?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No one took you aside and gave you a hug and what?
Oh. You're like, mouth aghast. We deliver this for you. And I just wanted the ground to just open me up. I'll open up and take me right there. And because you're like, thanks. This is so amazing, you know.
Wow. Maggie, what did you do?
And then that's indicative of what they were like. So I know they probably meant well, but
yes.
I mean, look, I remember in one in this particular group, one of the girls breastfed, you know, while her daughter was walking. She was an early walker, and the child walked past one of the mothers at one stage, and she got her and put her on her lap and stuck a bottle in her mouth and said, "See, this is you can feed her a bottle. You don't need to be breastfeeding."
Oh, what a group of women! Oh, you got a real Mandy.
Like, if only the Mandy of today could walk back and say to her,
"Get out."
Grab her by the arm. How long did you stay in that group? I stayed there until he was about, well, just after he was, yeah, till about three.
Wow, that was brave.
I kept trying because they all sort of broke off. At that stage, they were either having their second.
Yes, going back to
and
work.
I just was like, yeah, I need to go because I'm not part of this.
Yeah.
And I sort of went scooting around looking for other places where I belonged.
Yep.
But I just really ever have. I've never really found where I belong until now, to you girls.
Yeah, it's huge, man.
The community is so lucky, especially these new parents that are coming through, because it's a minefield when you get your diagnosis.
It really is. When did you get something formal, or who told you?
So the first steps I started making was after that particular episode at Mother's Group. I decided, okay, well, I'm going to start silencing these people.
Yep.
So the first thing you do, you go to go and get their hearing tested. And Kieran used to put like a blanket over his head, and we just like joke and say, "Oh, you know, you're Casper the Friendly Ghost," something like that. And the audiologist came out as well as the technician, and they were like, "Look, we think that there could be something more to this than just his hearing. We're going to test him for sure, but we just want to talk to you a bit about it." And they're saying, "We think that he possibly could be showing signs of autism." And I was like, and then I just burst into tears and said, "You know, but, oh, you know, he'll never grow up, he'll never get married, he'll never get this." It all just came out of me. And then the technician actually said, "Well, I'm autistic and I'm married and I have children and I have a job in the medical field."
Wow, how powerful.
So it was. And it was really interesting because, like, leading up to before I've had Kieran, the autism has always slipped into my life in some sort of weird way. Yeah, when I was in preschool myself, my best friend was autistic and he always had to be with me. And they'd separate us at sleep time and he'd run around and get to me. People I've worked with, you know, like they've had autistic siblings and I've always wanted to, like, know about it and question them. I had lots of questions. And I remember the book I bought, Smiling at Shadows by the beautiful Junie Waite. If anyone hasn't read it, I thoroughly recommend.
What a beautiful title.
Read it. And Dane is now a world champion cyclist.
Easy.
He cycles all around Bega.
Yeah.
And I remember picking it up and looking at the cover and thinking, oh, this looks like Kieran and I when we're older, and reading that it was about autism and slammed it back down.
Yeah.
But then I went back and bought it after he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Getting the diagnosis was confronting as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's like, well, for me it was the answer.
Yes.
But I know for my poor husband it was like it was hard because you want all of so much for your children.
Well, it's not – I think that we don't think it can happen to us. I definitely didn't. Then I think we have the burden of, and it is a burden, explaining to everybody else what it is and that it's okay. We still love that child and they're just going to have slightly different parenting strategies, and you're constantly explaining yourself instead of just saying, "Hi, I'm here with my kids." You know, you've sort of got to give a precursor everywhere you go.
Yeah, and then you feel like you're lying when you're not.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on in our heads.
It's a lot.
Yes.
And you'd think, should I go to that event? No, I won't go to that one. I'll go to that one, you know. So, yeah, that's
for sure.
Constantly got that.
And you have the invisible as well, Kate, you know, so because people just stare. Like you can see the thought bubbles in their head, like, What's going on there?
I know. It's so strange.
Yeah. And as well, Mandy, you get the same with the girls. Mm. Like, you would, people say to you, "Oh, it's such a shame. They're so pretty."
Yep. I've definitely
imagine
had
what
that.
They could have done without, you know.
Yep.
Because I get that even with Kieran. Like, people would be the first thing people would say, "Wow, we're so pretty. What a shame." Like, Yeah. It's a terrible shame.
Whoever.
I know. I could never imagine saying it to anyone. I could never imagine saying, what a shame that your child.
So ugly.
Think of all the things they could have achieved.
If they were pretty.
I mean, it's like someone telling to someone that's dying, like, it's a real shame you're going to die because, you know, think of all the things you could have
done. Oh, no, it's exactly like that. Yes.
I've told this story before, but my beautiful friend Lorraine, when her sister came out as gay, which wasn't a shock to anybody, her mum took Lorraine aside and said, it's such a shame because she's the pretty one. Like, Lorraine's terrible. Like, okay, what am I? You know, people say weird things. Anyway, so how old was beautiful Kieran when he was diagnosed?
So he was 2 and 9 months when we finally got the actual diagnosis.
And how many specialists did you see leading up to that, or like people?
Just the two. Right. We're a bit different that we didn't go searching.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit like, just if it's not broken, like don't fix it. There was a certain limit to what I felt I could confront as well. Whereas a lot of people I've met in the community over the years, like they are just like fierce. Like they have gone to overseas to find the people with an answer. And I think we just took the approach of we're just going to get on with life.
Yeah, really powerful. You know? I think it's actually what we've learnt now, though, that's what to do, because I think we tried to fix and we tried to cure and we tried to not go, oh, that's who they are.
Yeah.
They are who
that's
they
it.
Are.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And did you go to mainstream kinder, or what was early childhood like?
I went to I found a little preschool, sort of childcare centre. There was a small childcare centre that would take him. I still had to fight there because I remember I would be told, and also working in the sector not long after he went to school, knowing how it works, I would be asked by the director, could I pick him up at, say, 2 o'clock rather than leave him there till 3? And I'd say, well, why? I pay my fees just like everyone else. Like, I don't understand. I probably need to learn how to fight a bit, but probably fight a little less confronting and probably be a bit more diplomatic. And she'd say, well, you know, the others are all getting picked up at, you know, 3 and they need to have their afternoon tea and that routine needs to happen.
What, and he doesn't?
And he wrecks up that routine. No.
What?
Yeah, because he's up and moving. And he's like, yeah, they don't want to sit down. They don't want to go with the flow. They're not like, oh, yes, it's time to wake up and pack our beds away and be good little soldiers. No, they're not.
No.
And I get it. While I was working, and I can see how it's a sausage factory and it does need to run like that. But, you know.
It's okay to have one vegetarian sausage. Alienated. You can have one vegetarian sausage.
That's right.
That one just walks around while everyone else is eating. That's fine.
I would never have said that in my childcare time.
No.
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 No. But that's what that's just another part of what I would experience.
And then you miss being when all the mums get picked up and
absolutely.
Oh, it's just more
just
isolation.
Absolutely. You're just never really, you're always on that, just on that outer. Never really belong in a certain area. So I know when I was going through support group, these women I met were amazing. Mm. They were following the biomedical path and, like, they would stay up all hours of the night researching what they needed to do, and it was incredible. But again, I was just like, I can't do it.
Well, you're actually a mum too, aren't you?
And there's different personality types.
Yep.
Yeah, and they were like, and I think I've mentioned to you guys before, they were, you know, withdrawing their super to pay for ABI therapy and
Because talk about funding. When you were when Kieran was diagnosed, what funding was available to you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So there was no. There was no early intervention package, there was no, like, you know, you could get respite packages, but again, you had to be on a waiting list for like 2 years. Mm. And we also were in the feeling that we didn't want him off our hands. Mm. Like, we didn't, and I don't mean to say that as the people that did access it.
No,
needed
it's okay.
Them
no, no.
Their
yeah,
hands,
yeah.
But we just, well, there was only the three of us, and we just wanted to stick together like glue.
Yeah.
And because he was nonverbal, there wasn't things that he could tell us if anything went wrong.
Yes.
So we were incredibly protective of him, and we just said, it'll just be this, we'll just keep going and doing it with us, and we'll go out and experience everything we can together. So, you know, we paid for, I would do speech therapy and OT, and we'd pay for that ourselves. So things like overseas holidays.
No.
Yeah. You know, don't do that.
No.
No. But, you have a different investment, a very valuable one.
Absolutely. And then after a while, I mean, and honestly, we would go to these sessions, especially the speech therapy, and I think by the time I got him there, then dragged him into the office, kicking and screaming, trying to run out, and then I'd get into the session, and I would just cry.
Yeah, me too.
She just let me cry, and I'd think, okay, I'm glad that my $120 paid for my own sob session, and we probably got nothing out of it. So after about 2 years, we were like, okay, something's got to give, and we can't keep doing this. It's ridiculous.
And you get a bit tired of being that vulnerable all the time. Well, I did. I felt a bit tired of coming in.
I look back and I'm like, I was a mess. Totally. It was just an emotional mess.
They must have thought, watch out, here comes Mandy.
I know.
Times two.
I think it's been said a lot.
Let's go with the name, hey?
I can, every time you say something, Mandy, I so relate. Yeah. Even the, where's the scissors?
I know, where are the scissors?
I'm sure I've asked that at work as well. Something very, people like, what? Yeah. But yes, I have quite a chuckle.
I'm glad.
Must be in the name, for sure.
Must be. What about school? So, how did you look towards starting school, and what did that look like?
So school was the next eye opener of, because again you go, well, I know that we're not going to mainstream school, because he obviously is not going to be catered for. Even though, you know, as we know of today, you can just rock up at your local school and say, here you go, he's all yours, work with him.
Yes.
But I knew I was going to have to address it in a unit. You get given, in New South Wales, you get given a selection of three schools, and you write them down and you send them off. And I had chosen the three schools I wanted in order of preference. And then we get a letter back saying you got this other school that's further down, two suburbs away from us, and was not in my requirement. And I rang them back and I'm like, I think there's been a mistake. I have this school and I asked for this school. And they're like, oh, no, you don't get to choose. You just get where there's a place.
What? And why even give you the list?
Exactly. And we were just horrified. We were like, oh, no, he's not going there.
Yeah.
And they said, look, go and see the school, because if you do decide to pull out, you could lose a position altogether.
Yeah. But the fear of God
we went, and Kieran's a very gentle child. He's not aggressive. Mm. And we knew that that had to be something that the unit provided for him, like a no aggression, no yelling, you know, screaming, and the kids were great, but the teacher was just like, okay, everyone, let's sing Mr. and Mrs. Geddes a song. And I just felt like they were singing and looking around like, what are we doing? And I always go on my gut feeling. I was like, no, this is just, they're putting on a performance. And then the principal brought in one of the boys from the unit, and he sort of like referred to him as it.
Oh no.
I think I remember at the time. He was obviously, you know, had ADD. He had quite a lot of behavioural issues. And I remember seeing the look on that principal's face. He just detested that child.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, no, this is not happening. We walked straight out. And luckily, a mum who I'd met through the support unit early intervention sort of support network, her son was accepted into a school not far from us. And she said, another child has pulled out because they have a private school placement.
Right.
So ring up, take it. Mm. And we did. We got it. Yeah.
See, it
still wasn't the greatest of schools. It was in a very poor socioeconomic area. Yeah. Not that we're in wealthy areas, but there was a lot of kids with trouble issues. But, you know, he was happy and the teachers were amazing.
Yeah, that's what matters.
So, the beautiful peaches.
So he went. It took him a long time to settle in, a lot of, you know, throwing himself on the ground, being pulled off me.
And
a very fun thing he did, he would manage to, like, almost like a ninja, knot his hands inside of my hair.
Oh, yes.
Like it was like a so quick and his hands would be twisted through my hair and to try and unleash him from that, you know, I'd never. My hair never recovered. Yeah. But, you know, I was never going to have long, luscious hair.
You really have to go for one of those messy sort of haircut.
Yeah, looks. It's like go the cut, go the shortcut.
There's days
yeah.
when you can handle that, and there's other days where you're like, I just want my hair. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
There's just those moments Absolutely. Where you're like, I can't do this today.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, we're very fortunate. We knew other children that would smack and bite and punch their mothers. Yeah. And, you know, one little boy we knew, his mother could never turn right on the way home because they always turned left. And if she dared turn right, he would get out of his car seat and strangle her.
Yeah, that's right. So,
you know, there's always someone else that's going to have it far worse than you do.
Yeah, someone
and
that,
always sort of.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a coping mechanism too to go.
Oh, for sure.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, whatever works.
Did you get to meet some friends in the school?
No, and that is, again, that's the hardest thing when your child goes to a sport, isn't it? Because they get picked up.
It's an enormous gap.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because, like, my youngest school, which is in our neighbourhood, they put a submission in, like, should we get a support unit? And I wrote this very long message saying, for me, if I was to have a support unit in my neighbourhood, it would allow me to meet mums in my community.
Yes.
You know, I mean, now my youngest is friends with a child around the street from us, and her oldest is 21, the same age as Kieran.
Yeah.
And, you know, her youngest is the same age as Aaron, and it's like, we could have known each other.
Yes.
And you were already around the corner. Yes. And it's only now that the youngest go to school that we know each other.
Yeah. And this is why it's so important.
If you are someone listening, just know this is a huge gap.
It's a huge gap.
You know, we've got principals from specialist schools listening, you know. I don't know.
Absolutely. I don't know, it has to be the Department of Education.
That's right.
But
a school can put in a submission as well. Like, you know, working in the education department now myself, schools can say, we need an annex, even if it's just an annex.
I don't think we do that in Victoria.
No, we don't.
No, we have complete separate integration schools. Or separate schools.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Tell us about what was he like towards the tween years and heading up to puberty and stuff. I mean, you don't have to tell the nitty gritty.
He was more, I think of it as more, he would cry. He would just have like times he would come home and at night and he would cry and he'd look at you with his big eyes and he'd be like, what are you crying about?
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm crying.
No.
I know you're crying, but why are you sad?
Hard when he can't tell you.
So it was just never knowing if something was going wrong at school or someone was hurting him.
Yes.
Or, you know, he just was feeling the puberty blues. But it came and went all of a sudden. And, look, it's almost like I look back on photos when he was 10, when Aaron was born. Mm. And then just suddenly he's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know when that
happens. It's so true. I feel like boys go through
puberty.
It just
didn't happen under my nose.
Quite quick, whereas girls, it's quite a
couple
transition.
Of years.
And then you just look at your boys and like, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Your voice broke yesterday.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. I mean, the youngest can't wait for it. He's like, every 5 seconds, he's like, have I become a man yet? No, I'm not talking.
What was that like having Aaron?
Oh, look, it was like, oh, such, because we tried for a couple of miscarriages before Aaron. So that was hard because you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to get
this. Yes.
And then we had him, and it really hit me when I actually again, we're cruising through the pregnancy, no problems. And at 38 weeks, I went to my 38-week check and they're like, you're staying in. Mm. You're having a baby tonight.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm not ready. I still have to go home. I've got to get my oldest.
Yes.
Because I had it all sorted out. It would be the holidays when he was born and we wouldn't have to worry about school and we could take our time. And
I know, but we try. Anything.
So, I know you've been micromanaging this one, but you can't micromanage the next one. It was beautiful. Kieran was a little bit hesitant about him at first because babies, make noises.
They do.
And if his little face scrunched up, he'd be like, the ears would be off and he'd run away. Mm. But luckily Aaron was a very quiet baby and he just couldn't get enough of Kieran.
Yeah.
And the minute he was able to connect with him, we've got so many photos of Aaron just looking at Kieran like, what are you doing, big brother?
Yeah.
I like the look of you.
I love them.
And what you got there?
Yeah. So precious.
And I wished, if we only we'd known how that would have pulled Kieran out through as well, because suddenly he wasn't on his own either.
Yes.
And they do. They love each other. Enormous, it's huge.
Beautiful. Right. It is a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And when he was growing up, was he into like a hobby or a sport or gaming or like was there something that he
– Lego or Thomas trains or,
No, do you know what? There wasn't really any toys or anything particular. And also too, we were very very mindful not to let a obsession come in as well.
Mm.
Where a lot of people were doing like, we bought the Thomas tank and stuff, but he would just give it a go. Like there was really nothing that engaged him more than television.
Yep.
Television was the big
thing. Right. Yeah.
He could watch The Wiggles or High Five or whatever on repeat.
Yes.
Just over and over, and then the VHS back then.
Yep.
The VHS would get stuck and it'd be like, oh,
I know.
Big red car.
Quickly run to whatever, get a new one. So those little things that the conniptions, and also too, the ABC would finish at 10.
Yes, he used to finish people. Listen to
That's
this
right.
young mum.
And I'd be like, oh, no.
And mum would crack it if they put the golf on.
Oh, yes.
I remember she'd be like, there's golf on.
Yes, that's right, the golf on, and there would be no ABC kids.
No ABC kids.
And then you'd be waiting for play school to come.
3 o'clock.
Be Parliament.
Yeah.
Like, no, get this off.
Overtime.
Go over some important issue. Meanwhile, I'm like, I need play school.
Yeah. The struggles were
real.
Nothing
on demand.
We got Foxtel. It was great.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon Junior.
Oh, yeah. Life changing. Well, Netflix. That's a great mother. Just don't even know. Yeah.
Did the school, was it a like prep to year 12 school or did you have to move to a secondary school?
No, he went into, from high school he then transferred into another unit. We were very lucky with high school because he, again, was very gentle. He was accepted into a high school that had a lot of wheelchair bound.
Right.
So his best mate, still even to today, has cerebral palsy, and they go to day service together.
Awesome.
Oh, good.
It was lovely for him because he could be in a high school where, again, he wasn't going to be in any situation that was aggressive to him.
Mm.
And it was a happy place for him to go. He went through to year 12. Obviously, he didn't sit the HSC.
Yeah.
There probably were times when there would have been more that would have been done for him in high school. Unfortunately, the deputy principal that ran the unit, his background was wheelchair, was wheelchair children. Yeah. So he didn't really understand the complexities of autism.
Mm.
And he probably was more focused on the students that are autism that were high functioning.
Mm.
And so he would be like, look, they can do this and they're going to go do work experience and they're going to have all these really great, things that possibly the mainstream kids were doing as well. So Kieran was probably, and Kieran also lies in this situation where being nonverbal, there's a lot he can't, and also having an intellectual disability, there's a lot he can't do, but he's also very physically capable.
Yes.
And has a lot of comprehension.
Yes.
So he just needs shadowing.
Yeah.
A very expensive part of his NDIS.
Yes, I bet.
Because to try and explain to him, yes, he does need full-on care, but he also can do this and do that.
Yes.
So
that's just that preconceived idea of what disability is.
Yeah.
And again, it's just that having that confidence to probably go in there and fight more and say, no, I'm not going to accept that. Mm. You're going to do this, this, and this.
And it's your first child.
It's your first child.
I know. And you don't know what you're allowed to ask for. Like, it's. No. I know that some of us are better at it than others of us, but really, it shouldn't be our job.
Mm.
No, that's exactly
right.
We should drop
our kids off at school, and there should be a couple of issues like every other kid that goes through school has.
Very much we should
be able to whinge about the fact that the canteen doesn't have such and such, you know, instead of
not like that.
It's not like that, but that's what it should be like. So, you know, the education departments really need to up their game.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've told them enough. They don't listen.
Tell us about ending towards high school.
Mm.
And your feeling.
Sorry, what was that?
Tell us about what it was like coming towards the end of high school, thinking about him as an adult.
I think I'm probably very lucky because I've had a very clear idea of where I want Kieran to go post high school.
Yep.
Kieran attends a day service that's run by the Warra Society.
Right.
I don't know if you know much about.
No.
So it's this Rudolf Steiner. Facility.
Gorgeous.
Yep. Do you know much about Rudolf Steiner?
Yes, I do.
Little bits.
Yep.
You do? Yeah. So, I mean, it's very out there and a bit of peace loving.
Well, didn't he invent biodynamic farming?
I don't know.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So it's
a
very pagan.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of, like, they plant by the seasons.
And gorgeous. Yep.
Yeah, but fundamentally, it's got a really beautiful ethos about it. And my cousin, who is in his 40s as well, he is severely intellectually disabled and he has been a resident of Warra since he was five.
Right.
And my father also worked there. He gave up his job as an accountant when I was a teenager at school and became a support worker at Warra as well.
Oh, so you knew about it. You were like, this is going to be our place.
And for me, it was like, it was a place that wasn't about money or just babysitting.
Mm.
They live in this, they get to live in this beautiful environment. The ethos is the Rudolf Steiner philosophy is that you live with the earth.
Mm.
And the facilities are like nestled in the bush.
Oh, and, sounds beautiful.
Yeah, so it's really like fairyland. So I knew he could go there and he would be happy.
Yeah.
And that was just always the thing. That was the thing my father always said to me. And the minute he was like, we got his diagnosis, he's like, he will never know. And he'll never know hardship and anger. He'll just always be happy.
Mm.
So as long as he's happy, then don't worry. Mm. So
well, really, happiness is what we want for our children, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what we want.
Right. Yeah. So he's been there since he finished school. So he's been there. Ooh, what are we now? Maths is bad. Okay, 18, 19, 20. 4 years?
Yeah.
And we're now just starting to branch off into him now going to do some assisted employment. Was going to start, but then
COVID
again. He's going to work at a workshop that we've sort of handpicked ourselves.
Mm.
Again, that he's not going somewhere where he's going to be exploited or bullied. Mm. And that he's done the work placement and tried it out. They pack vitamins for vitamin companies. Mm-hmm. So it's working with the blister packs. It's a very quick process. So it's not sort of like mundane, you know, all day. It's quick.
Yep.
And he was, you know, really, he's been looking at the calendar.
Oh, he's proud.
Good
job.
Yeah. Because he's got the ability and we sort of, as he's got older and we can let go a little bit.
Yeah.
And that he can start making his choices, then that's where we're at. And he's also going to be possibly joining like a landscape project called the Outdoor Works, again, where it's like a company work with people with intellectual and physical disabilities, doing, you know, works on the RSL club,
awesome.
Nursing homes.
Great.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he'll do 2 days back at Warra where he does
farm skills with TAFE on Fridays. And I think he does like a certificate one in work skills. On
sure.
Thursday. So has he been able to attend during the pandemic, or has he had to be home?
No. Yeah. So all disability services, right, unless you are residential, yep, are closed.
Same here.
Yep. So, yeah, it's big.
It is big.
Very big. And, again, we're very fortunate that he can be at home with us.
I know.
And he is accepting of it.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Like the last lockdown, I just like crossed out every day.
Yeah.
Yep. Like we were in jail.
Yeah.
Like lockdown.
Just to
lockdown.
Show him. Yeah.
And now just to show him, yeah, that this time he just, and he looks at the news and he gets the idea.
Yeah, that it's still lockdown.
Something is happening.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. 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 That's right. And I think last, I mean, you know, Melbourne's done a few, but the big one that we all did in March was such a shock. But now we're sort of used to it. Like we don't like it, but we know, yeah, the kids absolutely know what it is.
Yes. Well, it's a very different feel, isn't it? I was sort of listening to Mia Freeman on the podcast, and they're saying, like, last lockdown it was like sourdough starters and TikToks and everyone was having a little holiday.
Yeah.
It was a novelty, and now it's just like, yeah,
yeah,
very different.
Well, now I think we know that life has changed forever. Mm. We didn't know that then. We thought it was going to be like a month.
Yeah.
Yes. The mental health cloud is huge.
Mm. Huge, huge, huge.
But I know this is a big question, but what have you done to look after yourself over these, over these 21 years, or how have you, how have you managed that?
I haven't managed.
I know.
Yeah, that's okay.
I haven't at all.
Yeah.
I've probably, luckily that I've sort of come out of it in the last few years, where I've sort of like really come out of a very deep, dark depression, and can, like, with the help of, you know, of the people that love me, and sort of go that, you know, it's okay, I can, you know, start being, but, you know, you sort of think you live behind a mirror, and then you're like, oh, you know, no, everything's great, but you gotta smash the mirror and you gotta start looking on the outside. So big things like, you know, I'm not on social media anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, you really work out who your friends are. Because when I think there's a lot of people that feel confident enough to sort of deal with the friendships that you lose. And then in my position, I think I just kept clawing and hoping someone would answer the, you know, clawing and clutching and putting myself in situations where I was constantly like desperate.
Yeah, because you're so lonely.
Yeah, I think it is. The loneliness is chronic.
The loneliness. Yeah, there's just nothing, nothing like
and
it.
And the not being able to speak your truth.
No, that's true,
And just pushing that down for so many years. There's only so much you can take before you burst.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's very, very true. And I think
I think I've got to, I had to learn also too that because my youngest needs me.
Yes.
He needs me to show him by example.
Yes.
And I mean, there are days when I go, oh my God, raising Kieran was so much easier than it is to raise you. Like, honestly, the clap back and the questions. And I remember when he would start talking and I hear, Mom, and I remember thinking, I've waited 10 years to hear someone call me Mom, but now I wish I'd been shush.
It's on repeat. Tears, it's interesting. I felt like that with the twins. So I'd be like, I'll give anything for Molly to say something, but would for the living God shut up.
Oh.
And then I'd feel guilty because I'd be like.
But she could chat for the whole world back then. Millie was the chatter.
But then I'd feel terribly riddled with guilt. And that's probably why she did speak so much, because I was like, keep speaking then. Because I would give anything for your sister to be able to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so tricky.
It is. And it's so funny, like, hearing your stories too of your twins, two girls that we've known each other since we were kids, and then they had their twins when Kieran was about two and a bit more. And just watching what they went through, because I was in my own dark period. I couldn't feel.
You don't have to.
But I just remember, like, looking back and thinking the things that they did, and went, I don't know how they coped. one of them in particular, her twins were wild.
I know.
Wild.
I wouldn't know anything about them.
Oh, no, Kate was our wild one.
Yeah, okay. We can start stories. But, yeah, like putting the hose in a window and turning the hose on seeing if they can make a pool out of the room.
We had hoses down halls. If it can happen, it's happened here.
And then that split second, like she could just turn her back for 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, you can't turn your back.
The chimney ashes on themselves.
Yeah, you cannot turn around.
Do not turn around.
No, you cannot. And, I mean,
even
if your children are typical, that makes a really lonely time.
Yeah.
You can't go.
Yeah.
You go to mum's group or play group or coffee mornings and you're just literally following these children.
You cannot sit.
No. You miss out.
And then I had that with Kieran as well.
Yes, very similar.
Sit and do.
No.
There's always like, come on, can we just join in?
Yes.
I know.
Part of the group, please, even though they're not very nice people.
Yeah.
But if they were nice, occasionally you remember the friend that walked with you.
Yeah. To the car or helped carry someone.
Yeah. Like my friend Rachel would always just – we'd walk around the backyard and she'd just walk and talk. Like we didn't have to sit and have coffee or we could do whatever worked. And they're rare.
Yeah.
Those people, they are rare.
They are.
Very rare. And we can say to other people, well, you can be that person.
Yes.
If your kid is happily playing on the mat, go and stand with the person who can't leave theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And
that, again, is like the beautiful thing that you girls have brought to the community that, if there's someone, it's one of their friends, can listen to this.
Yes.
It's like, because the hardest thing when you're in this situation too is that I remember my sister-in-law said to me once, you just have to ask for help.
No, you can't.
It's the last thing.
We won't.
When you're in this position, you're like, if I have to ask for help, I'm going to probably rip your face off.
Yes.
Or cry.
Because I'm so like, can't you see?
Yes, and can't you
then
see?
And you're full of pride and you don't want to say it.
No.
Right? You don't want to face the failure.
No.
So for all the rectums and the like borderline rectums that have someone that they know, because I mean, what do they say? Well, the autism mantra is if you don't know someone, you will.
Autism. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And it's the same with everything in a disability. Mm. Eventually, you will know someone.
Mm.
So if you can know a little bit more how to approach and help, it's going to help. The next generations and the next generations.
And we say it all the time, but people, I think the first question that people ask Mandy and I, why do you think your podcast resonates with so many people? And I just want to say to all of the people who think, oh, Mandy and Kate are funny or cool, because we're not really, we're just average parents of children with disabilities, so fucking meet the others because we're all really awesome.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they are great people.
It's just relatable.
Oh, so accepting. Yeah. We'll
accept
will never you. Judge you.
No,
we can come into your house. You could have poo, blackberries, donuts smeared on the wall. We won't even notice. Just we'll be your friend. You don't have to clean up for us.
Exactly. No.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're awesome people.
You know what I think too is that, especially here in Melbourne, we're all worn out and I've noticed nobody can really care for each other anymore. And so I think everyone's got a taste of what that feels like.
Yeah,
I think
just
so. Be so downtrodden that you can't even lift someone else up. That's how the peas feel all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like it is the greatest equalizer. Like
it is.
I mean, I'm sort of I love that you know, influencers don't really have much to influence.
I know.
And then at the same time I feel very sorry for them because, like,
don't feel sorry for
them. I can say that to the 50-year-old woman that's just like, I don't care. Come at me, girl. But, you know, it's true.
I have enjoyed not having to watch their holidays.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But just like, you know, there's only so much free food that they can
eat. Yes.
They can't go out and like say, we're having this great dinner at this place. I'm looking at us having drinks.
I know.
But at the same time, you start to see their pain is because they've got they haven't got any content and they don't know what to do. And it's sad that's something I'm trying to shield my youngest from is like, don't think that is life.
No, that's right.
No.
That's fake. And they've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's
then how does that affect, you know, people like youth in the disability sector?
Mm.
That, you know, there's a small amount of influencers that they can look up to.
Mm.
But, you know, it's like when are we going to start thinking, realizing that this is not the way the world needs to be?
No,
I think it might be changing.
I think it's changing.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yep.
Well, as long as the Kardashians are alive, it's always
yeah.
But I think we can all roll our eyes. Even the people that watch them know they're ridiculous. I don't watch them.
Yeah.
But I think there is more and more. For me, it's podcasts. There are so many little, small, average podcasts, and people listen because they're like, "Oh, that suits. Yeah. I love fishing. That's my real fisherman talk."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that. But we do need more visibility.
Have we missed anything, Mandy? Is there something you want to tell the P Tribe that we've missed today?
No, I don't think so. It's just a casual chat. I didn't really have much to.
That's
much to input, just, you know, just the
that's what this is.
Share your story.
It's P Chat.
Yeah, it is P Chat. Yeah. We love it.
Mm. It is.
We do, and we loved meeting you. We loved meeting Kieran.
Oh, the live show, our first live show. You're sitting that front row.
And may I just say that I christened Matthew Hardy with the live guy name tag.
Oh, yes! I forgot that.
Remember I was saying to Kate, your live guy.
And your live guy.
No, you just use live guy.
He's actually saved in my phone, is that?
Yeah, me too. Matthew Live Guy.
There you go.
And he comes up funny, sometimes, Miss Tens at school, and she goes, and then it would come up, Kate and Matthew Live Guy. Because our things are joined on our iPad. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I can't think of his name, but then it's funny because we have crossed paths.
Yes.
In his younger life.
Yes,
so everyone's crossed paths with this guy. I can't even tell you. I feel like a bit bereft that I managed to go through my adolescence without hooking up with him or seeing someone hook up with him at a nightclub. I'm like, we were at the same places.
He tried to hook up with my best friend.
See?
She's in Melbourne.
Yeah, well.
And, she was – and I said to her when we went to the live show in Sydney, I'm like, you wouldn't believe it. He was there. And she's like, oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah, maybe you two should get together again one day.
Oh, he's brought a lot of spark to our life.
He has.
Really, really different.
Oh,
spark. We do love him.
We absolutely love him.
Yeah, we really, really do.
And look, he's great in like getting you girls. Spreading the word.
I know.
The better.
Man, look at you girls. Michelle, Laurie, Nellie, Thomas. You girls have got some friends.
We do now.
He's been really lovely.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the low place friends that we really love.
Yeah, that's right.
People like you,
Mandy. They're not the D list. You know, like, these are like good people.
We call it the P list.
The P list. You're on it, Mandy.
P list celebrities.
You'll be on Gogglebox next.
Oh, I would love that.
We would love that.
I think Gogglebox is made for Mandy and I.
Oh, totally.
Oh, absolutely. I think that they'd be silly not to think of you guys.
Yeah, well, they probably haven't heard of us.
And as I said the other day, I just want to go and nailed it. That's what I want to go
the
on.
Next Angie and Evie. Nailed it.
See, because I can bake, but I cannot decorate for the life of me.
I hate craft. I hate craft, and I'll
be perfect. Yeah, it's baking. I'll be perfect.
Oh, baking!
Yeah,
wow. I thought you said making it. Mum with a craft.
No,
I can't do that.
I can't do craft.
No. Oh, that's the nailed it where they've got to recreate the cake.
Yes,
in half an hour or something ridiculous.
It's made for me.
And they're like, what is it? Yeah,
I would just be slapping things together.
Oh, I can see it. Yeah. If they do a nailed it Australia, she's in.
I just want to be on it.
It's actually one of my go-to, I'm having a bad day, I'll put an episode of Nailed It on. Oh, that host, gosh, she is so funny.
Crying with laughter. That's going to be my laugh in today's episode.
I think she's the new host of Wipeout or whatever that.
Oh.
Is it called Wipeout? Or you know that show in America where they have to go on the big balls?
Oh, were you?
Yeah, it's a knockout.
It's a knockout. That's the name of the game. I love that show.
My dad went on that.
Yeah. That was my claim to fame.
My dad loved it. Yeah, he loved all that stuff.
Representing Victoria?
Yes.
Yes.
He might have represented Sydney because that's where his head office was. I think he went with some work people. But
so he was in the New South Wales team.
Yeah.
Because they were in states.
Yeah.
Yes, you were a cheerleader. What did that mean?
Yeah, well, I was always a cheerleader for the South because I always had to wear green. That was my colour.
Oh, to go with your beautiful
and
eyes.
And I always wanted the blue and the red. Blue was New South Wales and red was Victoria. Queensland was yellow.
Yep.
Wow, you're a cheerleader.
Perth was never in it.
Have you got a photo we can put up for the piece?
You didn't hook up with Matthew if you're a cheerleader.
We need a photo.
If it's hidden somewhere.
Oh, no pressure.
No pressure.
And I sent you other photos. So, I'm just like, I actually never had a camera when I was at the show.
No,
of course not. You weren't taking selfies.
I was only 15, so I was the youngest. And all the other girls were all older and they all had their own cameras.
Yes.
So there is a couple of photos, but they're not as posing.
Yeah,
as well.
I know.
That's okay.
Because no I'd pressure. Be taking their photos for them. They'd be like, take my photo. Yeah. Doing
the original so, selfies. Yeah. Yep.
I was just
Oh, my mum and dad wouldn't let me have a camera.
Really?
They said the amount of money that film costs and you won't be responsible enough. And I remember when I was about 16, I secretly bought one and didn't tell them. What a rebel.
Oh, wow, Kate. We should let you go, Mandy. We're going to go on and on and on.
This is who we are.
Yeah.
We chat a piece.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We will get back to Sydney.
Oh,
we'll have a wine, tea, gin, something.
Yeah. Thank you for being in.
I'm able to get to Melbourne to see my best friend as well. So
yes. And then you can come to the pod bar and have a glass of wine.
Oh, it'd just be nice to see my parents at the moment. I know. See my parents.
No, we can't see ours. I can't see my mum.
No.
No.
Thanks for being an OGP.
Yes.
And we love you. Thanks for sharing your story today.
We really do love you.
Thank you. You girls have changed my world. So thank you so much to you guys as well. So,
well, all of you
the friends I've never had. Ever.
Yay, here we are. Yeah. Beautiful Mandy P. Oh, love having her on today.
We knew she was a kindred spirit from the moment we...
Total. Moment we heard her speak part, yep. The dulcet tones.
And when she, when we met her at the live show, they were just sort of standing at the back and she got Live Guy to go. She said, can I see them?
Yes.
Because Kieran didn't want to come into to the mob of middle-aged women.
Yes.
And, she was so beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
And he is beautiful.
And I love hearing her story.
Yeah, and because she went with it.
She
didn't fight it.
She didn't.
I think that's...
It's powerful.
And very, very smart, you know? Yeah. So many of us fight and let's do this. And she just said, this is what it is. We're just going to get on with our life.
Yeah,
and we're gonna
took the pressure
and
off
love
herself.
Him. Just love him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, beautiful. All
lots
right.
Lots to be learnt.
What made you cry this week?
I think I just had some tears and I was saying to Darren, like every friendship group I'm in the messages is just filled with women in despair.
I know.
So I wasn't crying as such other than just I feel so really sad. And all the women in my life that have spent the last 10, 20 years building themselves up are getting crushed again and again and again.
All of them.
All of them. There's not one woman in Melbourne that I know of that's going, great, I'm doing great.
Well, if your children are still at home.
Yeah.
Then your care level has gone up exponentially.
Exponentially. Like, we're back to just dishwasher, washing, cooking, dishwasher, washing, cooking. You know, when some of us were coming out of that.
Remote school and salvage
keep
our
spirits
businesses
up.
And I don't know. And I think something that I've noticed, and this is the first time that this has happened to me, like I was thinking about my beautiful friend Katie because I haven't been in touch with my friends, right? I just,
I don't
have the energy.
We've all
and I thought,
gone into a bit of shutdown.
I need to send her something. And then I thought, how do I do that?
See?
And I am not that.
No, but we've run out of any ability
and
to care for each other.
Oh, I know what I'm going to do for that person. No. And, I enjoy sending gifts. I don't know. What does she even want?
That's
I think we're just all so.
Yeah, we are.
We're just a little bit. We're just a mass depression.
Yeah.
Through the state, and I'm not saying that for people who live with serious mental illness, but it's definitely not happy.
No.
So that'll be my cry too because it was exactly the same.
What about make a difference?
Okay, so my difference this week is after a bit of yo-yoing, I'm back at work.
Yes.
So there was a bit of confusion, but I am back at work. Just the work boys scared me, which I forgot they used to do all the time.
Yes, okay.
So I had got a fright.
wow.
That was actually, fun. I was like, that's right, they're fun to be with.
Funny.
They're just, I don't know, they're so... They're just so funny. They're so fun to hang around with and they're just full of youthful exuberance, even though they are sad too.
Yes.
But just being together feels normal.
Yes.
It's like, I remember when we just went to work. Yes. And I mean, obviously we're wearing masks and we're checking in and I don't ride in the truck with them and, it's very different.
All that.
But it's still – and there's just – I don't know if I'll salvage my business, but there's just something so nice about going to work.
Yes.
And I will never take it for granted. No. Not that I did. And I have had actually some beautiful real estate agents call me over the last couple of weeks saying, I know you built this up so that you could work with your boys and I know and I keep thinking of you and this isn't fair.
Mm.
And I thought, that's
really
nice.
Nice acknowledgement.
Yeah, so, but my make a difference going back to work. What about you?
Well, this is kind of a MandyHoseHoseKnows.com again. But a couple of weeks ago, beautiful Kirsty from The Art of Decluttering told me about a webinar that was on called Tricky Friendships for Tween Girls.
Oh, yes.
And it's run by Michelle Mitchell. Now, I met her years ago at the Resilient Kids Conference. And so anyway, I booked it and paid for it. And then this was weeks ago, and I got Miss Ten and I sat up with the, computer and I said, right, we're ready to watch this tonight. And I went to launch the Zoom and it said 20th of September. And I was like, oh, darn it, I didn't read that. Anyway, so then it gets to the 20th of September and I've forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, quick, put the computer on. We're going to read about tricky friendships.
But it was
anyway,
really good.
It was so fantastic. I want you all to go and follow Michelle Mitchell. Go to her website. She's got so much information for tween girls. And she just did this beautiful webinar talking about friendships. And one of her main things she talked about, I don't want to give it all away, was that space helps most things. So instead of having big blow up with friendships, yes, just everyone having a bit of space. And we've had a lot of space.
We've had too much space, but right? Yes.
But anyway, Miss Ten really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Because it is a tricky age.
Oh, very
and she
tricky.
Hasn't even been able to get back to school to even repair any of the trickiness that's happened.
Or know if other trickiness has happened.
That's right. Yep. And, there's, know, text messages where people are left out because parents have different rules,
yes,
around all of that stuff.
Oh,
so
hard.
It just gave us a bit of joy for 45 minutes. And so I just want you to go and follow her. Yeah, it was helpful.
And if it helps you, good.
And
we all
actually,
need all the help we can get.
I just wanted to say that I learned a lot. And I thought, I really...
She did Snapchat me. She was taking notes.
I did.
Yes.
Because I thought every woman needs to go to this tricky friendship thing, right?
We all have tricky friendships.
And if only I had learned some of this stuff when I was 10, could have saved a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned a lot. The other thing is Miss Ten was quite in despair a few weeks ago. And my neighbour said she's got three little girls. They've been getting into the Our Generation dolls.
Right. I don't know what they are.
Right. So they are sold at Kmart and Target, but they've got a huge website. If you want hours of scrolling, looking at dolls and all their paraphernalia. Anyway, it's just been a little bit of joy.
Yes.
So we ordered her a doll. We ordered a scooter to go with it. We've ordered some pajamas and she's back playing with dolls, right? Because she hasn't played with dolls in years. She hasn't anyone to really play dolls with. She wasn't really a doll little girl.
And her older sisters were that little bit older.
Yeah, yeah. So the neighbours, they're playing, they're carrying their dolls around. She's putting the doll to bed.
So cute.
She watches TV with the doll in between us. And I just thought, that's what I did when I was 10.
Oh, yeah, I was obsessed with dolls.
It's lovely to see her nurturing.
Yeah.
And it's just been a bit of fun to have some deliveries.
Yes.
You can get it cheaply. You can go on Marketplace and get cheap stuff. It's just brought us some joy.
Look, whatever, if it brings joy.
I know.
We've had an air compressor. Endless joy.
I know.
So
whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, I think, at the moment.
No, so I have to say goodnight to her. I've got a whole ritual. Then I have to say goodnight to Megan. And then we're getting, another one is coming. I'm going to have to say goodnight to Megan and Madeline. And I'm like, how many dolls do I have to say goodnight to? Who cares in a pandemic? Anyway, that's been terrific things.
Yeah.
What about your laugh?
Awesome. Okay, so my laugh is that, as we mentioned at the start of the episode, in Melbourne we had an earthquake. And so it was
I saw the whole world heard.
9-something in the morning, wasn't it? 9:20 or something, 9:15. And so it's school holidays here. Buzz and Woody were lying in bed watching YouTube and Woody starts yelling out as the whole house is shaking, "Stop it, Dad! Stop it!" I don't know what he thought dad was doing, but he just thought, this has got to stop right now. Anyway, it's just made me laugh because
we'll just blame the dad.
We'll blame the dad. I mean, he does do weird things, so who knows? Anyway, he didn't actually cause the earthquake, but it made me laugh. What about you?
Oh, well, the last two nights, Miss Ten and I, with the doll, has been watching Nailed It Season 6.
Oh.
And I just... belly laughing.
Oh, nailed it. It's just
I feel
gift.
Like it's the anecdote to Melbourne right now. It was so funny. Those people cannot, I can't do that sort of stuff. But hands down, laughing my head off.
Yeah.
You know? Oh,
I absolutely love that show.
Oh.
I love it. Number One Daughter loves it.
Oh, I love it. As ridiculous as it all is, I just find that I find the contestants hilarious.
And some of them are so earnest. I'm like, what are you doing on this show?
They're so earnest.
I know you want to go on
I want to go on
but
it.
But I would also be like, why are you doing this to yourself? And I just think they just set them up to fail. That's what's so funny, because they'll present a cake that's obviously taken 8 hours and go, 45 minutes.
I just can't get enough of it.
Oh, it's great.
I can't.
It's the just, balm we all need for ourselves.
It really is. Yep. And the other hilarity was Molly, because she really is proud about the this is not a drill.
It's
telling
not a
you
drill.
About like yes. and I've given her all the feedback from all of you. And yep. she just keeps coming up and hugging me and saying, I'm changing the world.
Yes, she is.
I know. And she's so proud of herself. So
we're
she
proud
just
of
keeps
her too.
Coming up and cuddling me. I'm changing the world.
Yes, you are.
I said, yes,
it's
you are.
It's not a drill. We need
it's
our
not a
vaccines.
Drill. I know.
Yep.
So she just makes me laugh. Oh. Yep. And she's listening to the podcast at the moment going from the start. So she's just got the headphones on and she said, Mum, you're a comedian. I said, okay,
high
thanks.
High praise.
I know. So,
high
and
praise.
Then today she said, go, you need to make more.
Oh, I love
oh,
it.
Oh, no. She's so awesome. Cute.
Yep, yep. Beautiful, beautiful. So,
oh, gee.
Anyway, peas, that's it from Ooh. Earthquake, pandemic, COVID.
Rioting.
Melbourne. Who knows? Exciting to see what the next week's going
to
bring, you know?
Just so you know, Kate and I are fine. There's no breakup in the tricky friendship here. We're all okay. I've got the skills now. Well, give me some
good.
Space. If we don't come on, you know,
all
we're having some
space.
Anyway, thanks for listening,
Thank
Peas.
You. Order our book off our
yes.
website. Order the booklets. We're sending them.
We're sending them out.
And that's what we wanted to say. If you order the book, they get sent on Thursdays.
Yes, I can only go to the post office on a Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's too much.
I can't
obviously.
Do it all.
So, yep. But we love the orders. We yep. love them. We have sent the 50. Thank you to that beautiful P.
Yes.
We signed 50 and sent them off.
Yes, we
should. So there, you probably have them by now. But if you order them and it's taking a few days, that's because we can only send them once a week. And
yep.
the booklets, we're sending them too. So
yeah, great.
Keep the orders coming in. Rate and review.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.